Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome back. Best audience ever. Because you guys are like knocking on my door all the time. You're telling me what to do. You're telling me who you want to hear from. You're cheering it on and you're doing reviews. And we so appreciate it because, you know, that's important to get the word out about everyone that we have on as a guest. And today you guys get like that whole Wrigley's, you know, 2-for-1. I am super excited because you guys know that we've got a big project going on and you're going to hear about it for another 362 days till myself and Corrine land in the country of Ireland and start hoofing across raising money for the music industry. If you have never landed on our show before, it's called Mission Accepted for a Reason, because all of the guests that come on, whether they're entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, or in media, no matter what age they are, double boomers to Gen Z. And oh my gosh, the Gen Z generation are stepping up into the world of entrepreneurship like never before. I'm like, how many people do you have on your Instagram? They're like, yeah, I don't need a website. I just build myself out on Instagram. I'm like, okay, so here's the deal. On this show, the whole idea is that it's multi-generational because what they have, they can teach us. We were just talking about some stuff around social media. And honestly, what we have as boomers, we can teach them, and that's going to make for a beautiful generation of entrepreneurs. So look, on the show, we talk about the mission because every entrepreneur has their own story. Some people were forced into entrepreneurship. Some people were dragged by their partner. They're like, I'm doing this. You coming? You know, some people had their back against the wall and they got their walking papers and they were like, I need to make rent in 30 days. At some point, everybody on the inside said yes, no matter what was going on the outside. There was a decision that had to be made. Now, here's the great news and the kind of news, in case you haven't ventured into the world of entrepreneurship and taken on your own mission, is that the mission doesn't stop with yes. The mission continues to change and grow. And those of us that, you know, trudge through that, we get, I think, what I call the highest benefits, right? There is something very self-fulfilling knowing that you're on path and on passion. And if you're not, you'll know it really quickly when you walk into entrepreneurship. So I have this really cool band that's come on today. And you guys know how much I love music. I'm not going to go on and on because they're going to talk about themselves. Very interesting. They really have nailed the concept of everything. So a lot of people in the music industry, they get different bits and pieces done for them in relationship for them producing their music. But these guys do everything. I'm going to let them talk a little bit about that themselves. So, hey, welcome to Mission Accepted, you guys.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the name of your band? I'll let you introduce yourself, the name of your band. And, you know, as a couple, at a certain point, we want to hear how you guys either got together or got together musically and share a little bit like what's your band? What do you guys do? I know that you love the classics, so I'll let you talk about that.
Sure. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Jill.
And we're Moving Lines, and we're from Summerland, BC. And we kind of got our start during the pandemic. I mean, that was kind of the whole basis of writing our own stuff. We do have a classic rock cover band that we have had for about 7 years now. And it kind of just, you know, stopped. Everything stopped. So we thought, well, we had some stuff kind of started because we just didn't have time to actually finish it.
We're so busy,
right? And we thought maybe this is the perfect time just to grab hold and do what we kind of want to do, which is, you know, write our own original stuff. So that's kind of how it started. And I guess it'd be 2020, I guess we started kicking it back. And then we released our first single last year. And now we have 6 singles and, more to come.
We try to release one every couple months.
Yeah.
And actually the first single that we released, there was some awards, ISSA awards, which was a surprise. It's done in Atlanta, Georgia. So yeah, I mean, lots of surprises come up for us along the way, and it's just been really exciting.
Yeah. And the name just kind of stemmed from our travels. We moved a lot. Like, we're from Saskatchewan originally, moved to BC, moved back to Saskatchewan because we had sick family, came back to Langley area, moved back to the Okanagan here. So it's just kind of a play on that, but it's also a lot of what you see in music, moving lines, like the heartbeats of the music, right? That was kind of the play on it. But it was just a name that kind of floated around, and we thought, that one, that's the one.
And it makes sense, and it represents who we are, and that we have multiple layers to what we do. Mm-hmm. So,
and always moving.
And we're always moving.
So here's the cool thing. So you guys, you know, during the pandemic, you know, made lemonade out of lemons, and interestingly enough, gave you time to slow down and get to some of that stuff that has been sitting on the list. And I think we can all relate to that as, you know, entrepreneurs or creatives or what have you. There's like these two lists, the stuff that, you know, that we're doing and the stuff that needs doing, right? And the stuff that needs wanting to be done. So you guys, it sounds like you were in music before. Like, were you in music together before, or was it separate? Like, talk a little bit about maybe individually how you decided to take on the mission of adding music into your life and obviously doing this for work.
Yeah. For myself, I started drumming when I was 5 years old, and I hate to give my age away too, but I'm 47.
I gave my age away before we were live. So feel free to go for it.
So it's been a long time, and I my parents bought me this snare drum and a splash cymbal from Sears, and I think I beat the crap out of that thing. And then they bought me a full drum kit, which, you know, I probably drove them crazy, but they supported me all the way through. And I actually picked up guitar when I was 13 by accident. I was starting a band, and I think it was grade 7. I was just asking randomly, you know, hey, anybody want to join a band? And this one girl kind of came to me and said, I have a guitar, but it's missing a string. And I don't know why I said, well, let me see it and I'll put it on, I guess. I don't know. I had no idea what to expect, right? But then, you know, I actually got it on there and it worked, and I figured it out. There was no internet to, you know, refer to at those times, but I figured it out. And the first song I kind of learned was the harmony line for Platinum Blonde's Contact. And I was hooked. I said, Mom, Dad, I want a guitar. And they looked at me and went, ha.
They got it.
But then I mean for bands, for me, I started playing in the bars when I was 16 on a cover band, and we were very busy, and it never stopped. And then after a while, though, you know, guys went on their separate ways, everybody had families and stuff like that, and then I kind of quit the music scene for a while too, because I was busy with family business stuff and whatnot. And then, yeah, moving out to the Okanagan kind of re-spurred that, and and here we are now.
Yeah, well, we ended up joining a Neil Young tribute band, actually, and that got us into like the big festivals and stuff like that. So
I gotta ask, were you the girl that walked up with the guitar, or how did this happen?
Well, actually, we were living in different provinces at the time.
But we went to school together.
That's right. And we had the same friends, and our parents knew each other when they were in their 20s. So we were from the same town, but we had gone our separate ways after high school. And we actually met on, I don't know if you remember, High Five. It's like way before Facebook.
Yeah.
And
we
were connecting, and he was in Vancouver doing his audio engineering. And I wanted to go out there to do my nursing. And we just hooked up. Like, it was I guess, soulmates.
And that was 2005, I think. So 2005. Roughly in that area.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys have been doing this for a while. So now, okay, so you went to school for nursing, but you guys kind of hooked up. It's a term that we've still used today, right?
Yeah.
Hooked up. And so how did you end up doing music together? Like, did you also have this story of playing, or were you in the school choir, or what? How'd this work?
Well, when I was young, I mean, I grew up in a family where there were, you know, kitchen players. You know, my dad would play the guitar and someone would come over with the fiddle. My mom and my sister would sing and I would sing harmonies with them. And our whole family was musical. And, you know, I would sing with my dad. And then eventually as I grew up, I actually got into drama. So I did the acting and singing and that sort of a thing. And then I got into, I guess more acting after that point, and that I've been in show choirs and things like that in Vancouver, like the Maple Leaf Singers show choir. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know, I love music, but it's not where I felt like I needed to be yet. Yeah. I hadn't found who I was musically. And then eventually when we ended up moving out here and Kevin joined the Neil Young Tribute Band, and we're like, oh, okay, well, that's, you know,
yeah, we're
different.
We're actually rehearsing one day. I was drumming for that band, and we were rehearsing one day, and the singer looked at me and says, you know, I need some backup singers. Really, there's certain parts here and certain songs that we're going to do that I need a female vocalist to come along with us, right? He says, do you guys know any singers? I was like, yeah. And that's kind of how it started. The rest of it was the go, right?
Yeah, he was like, oh, my wife sings. And he came home, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to be that person. Like, oh yeah, your wife sings, blah blah blah. All right. But when we got there, it was just, we had that magic, you know. We just, boom, we didn't know each other, and we just were in this space that is so rare. And when we got up in the big stage and people were noticing me, I got the spark, and I was like, this is it, this is where I belong, on the stage, you know, and talking to people and communicating through music. And eventually the tribute band kind of retired, and then the rest of the guys kind of followed me, and then we started our classic rock band. And then through, I think, you know, doing covers, it kind of helps you find who you are, right? And then a lot of those influences started pouring in. And then I was finding that my history of writing poems, I could integrate into songwriting. Hence, when we had the time, I started doing all the lyrics and writing and doing the melodies and stuff like that from all that experience. So it all, you know, it all happens for a reason, right?
So that, I mean, that's just a great story. A lot of our, you know, listeners, watchers, whatever, it's video, audio, it's always kind of like that question that they ask. It's like, so when did you know, or what was your break, or, you know, how do you get to where you are? And it's kind of hard to explain, because it's a magical moment after a magical moment. I think it kind of comes down to providence. Like providence is like when you say yes, and all unforetold things come into play, right? And it sounds like that, really, when you say that you didn't know your voice yet, or you didn't know where you were going to be as a singer yet, or you're not going to know how you were going to be as a musician yet. And then it kind of came to you. It seems like to take on the mission for you was like, it almost like you were ready and it kind of came to you. And then you felt that feeling inside. So
I guess it's kind of like, I know a lot of people think it's a little crazy, but when you ask the universe, you know, it happens. Yeah. Like they say, manifest it. And when you can see yourself on the big stage, it's just, and through the process, things just kind of come to you so that that dream comes alive. And it is a
right. Did you ever go through any, there's a lot of times, I mean, I speak and teach, and I know that before I get up in front of, depending on the size of the stage, my, you know, the throw up, you know, level changes, right? So it's like, you know, what do you do, or do you experience that? How did this happen to me? Or how did I get here? Or when he came home and went, hey, darling, guess what? Guess what you're doing on Sunday? Did you ever question yourself, or did you ever have those moments of why me, who me? I mean, either one of you, like, was there ever any time where it felt you were nervous, or?
Well, I mean, I'm always nervous, you know. I mean, yeah. We are perfectionists in our own right, and we practice and we work hard and we don't want to screw up. Like, we get it, we're human, right? But yeah. I guess we're more nervous about making any mistakes, and if that happens, and how we're going to recover. And then you think, you know what, I have an awesome band, and we will just keep on going. Kind of like in the theater world, if you make a mistake, you just keep on going. If you don't recognize it, nobody will notice. Nobody else really notices, but we notice, yeah. Right? But I mean, that's why we get nervous, because it's just things happen, you know? Yeah. And then once you get into it and they just close your eyes and feel the music and then you're like, yes, you know, this is it. Then it just kind of melts away. That does for me.
Yeah. For me, it's more of butterflies now. I remember my first time on stage, I was narrating a Christmas play for our school back in, oh man, grade five or six. And I thought I was going to stand behind the curtain and narrate with a microphone. And she says, okay, come stand over here. And I was like, and I was right in the middle of the stage, but the curtains were closed. I was like, I have to stand here. Don't open the curtains. I said, don't open them. And they're like, well, they want to see you. And I was like, oh my God. And I think I just like lost, like I just turned white as a ghost. And I looked down at the paper the whole time. I didn't even look at the crowd. I just looked at the paper and read it. And that's it. I was so scared. And after that moment though, I easily jumped on stage. I just get the butterflies more. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. After that first song, I know everything's just fine, right? It's good to go. But for me, it's more of a butterfly thing now. I get excited for the show. Here we go.
Wow. Look, I know you guys have been influenced by, and you know, it was so great to hear, and I'm sure there's more, but one of my favorite bands of all times is April Wine. And when I was reading some stuff they had sent over and I'm like, April Wine, right? So, I mean, we hear lots about, I mean, we have some amazing musicians in Canada, just in our, like just in our ballpark. So who kind of impressed upon you and like, who did you watch or who was important for you? Like what's kind of your people?
Wow, I remember my first concert. Actually, before that, I remember one of my friends brought over a record for me to listen to. And at that time, I really wasn't listening to anything. I was just listening to what my parents put on. So things like the Irish Rovers, Eddie Rabbit, stuff like that. I'd never really heard any hard rock stuff. So my friend brought over Quiet Riot, Metal Health. And I was like, wow, I love this stuff. So Quiet Riot was my number one go-to. And then I found Kick-Axe right after that. And that was my first concert. My mom came with me. She said, I'll be at the back. And I ran to the front and it was the best show ever. I still listen to that album. Vices is like one of my top albums. I think it's great. They were a great band from Saskatchewan as well. But I mean, there's so many influences for me, and I stuck to the hard rock thing mostly through the 80s. And then as alternative started moving in, Soundgarden became one of my favorites, along with Alice in Chains. But I mean, I listened to all the classics too, Autograph and whatnot. But right now I would say like Big Wreck is a number one for me. Ian Thornley is just a god on guitar and singing.
And vocals, And unreal. Kevin got me hooked with Ian Thornley. Like, yeah. Wow.
We go every time
He's
they show
teacher,
up.
He's our teacher, right? Like, you know, like you just study his stuff.
Yeah,
and like,
oh, it's amazing. So many to list, but Metallica was another big one for me. I really got into Metallica. I learned the whole Anjustice album on guitar because I had to. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Wow.
But yeah, there's so many.
So the I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of when people understudy, when people take other people under their wing. I mean, we do a lot, you know, a lot of people in industry, entrepreneurs, we help each other. When my son's 18 and he's launching his first company, and when he told me he wanted to be an entrepreneur, I sat him down. I'm like, okay, have you not watched Mom's Life? Like, do you know what you're saying? Like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, this is not the easy way. We could, you want to get a job, I can help you get a job. And he's like, I know. But he showed signs of fashion and art when he was 10. And now, you know, I can brag on about him because I'm his mom. But he became a sneakerhead. So, you know, the whole culture around sneakerhead and just love rap music. And I had to get myself around some of those lyrics. So I'm like, I guess that was my payback, because my mom had to get used to AC/DC. And I guess my grandmother had to get used to Elvis. You know, actually, my grandmother probably would have dated Elvis, but that's another story. So so when my son started showing fashion and he wanted to go learn how to make sneakers, not just be a sneakerhead and flip and whatever, I was a little bit at a loss, because I love fashion, but I wasn't in the fashion industry. And I thought, okay, one of the things I need to do is find this kid who was too young to go to a fashion school, who to go learn from. And it was hard. It took me 4 months to find a sewer that could take Ocean under her wing and watch my 16-year-old sew his first bandana, you know, and make his first pair of pants. And I just so appreciate the art and the benefit of being understudied or someone taking someone under their wing. And I think it's more of a European thought than maybe a North American thought. But when you were talking about how you guys teach and how people can actually really do it all themselves, because you guys do it all yourself. I can say, honestly, I think I was in tears at Christmas when I was giving her a Christmas gift. I go, you have no idea what you've done for our family. Like, you have no idea. My son's eyes are like so excited. Now he's moving on to his next private understudy person, next level. Honestly, it changed our life. So when I heard that you do that, talk about that, because people will see you as a band, or they'll see you as a guitar player, or they'll see you as a songwriter, or they'll see people as producers. But they, when you said that you guys do it all, share, because I think it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started using Photoshop back in almost its inception, and I quickly became kind of addicted to using it. And then I found Corel Draw as well. So like art design and stuff like that, we do all our own graphics and all that stuff. You know, I'm not a pro by any means, but I learned the program so I could do it, because it saves a ton of time. I know what we're looking for, kind of thing, or what we, the ideas we have, and we can play around, do
saves
things like
money.
That. Yeah.
Sure.
Engineering part of it. I mean, I was interested when computers were still like, you know, a $5,000 machine, but it was slow as hell and whatever, right? I was still interested though in how do we start computer recording, right? Because I know I'd been to a studio where they had Pro Tools on a Mac, and I was like, this is amazing. You can record right on your computer. I need to know how to do this because I have lots of ideas. And I had a four track before that, like just a small Fostex four track tape machine. When I finally figured it out, it just seemed so confusing to me at first because it was new technology. Nobody really knew what was going to work and what wasn't going to work, but it just progressed from there. And then I started, you know, learning and figuring it out. And I guess maybe doing live sound for so long with our bands that we've had, like I've had for since I was 16, kind of helped, because I kind of knew what to do. I know it's different in a studio, but at the same time, it's similar. You still have to balance things and get things right. It takes some time to practice and get used to the craft, right? Mm-hmm. But everything else, I mean, it just, I played drums already. So it was like, okay, well, I know what I hear in my head as a drum beat. And then bass for me though, was just one of those things that I just kind of went, well, I have to learn it because it's similar to guitar. I just have to follow rhythm patterns and get certain things that I hear from what I've heard from other artists, right? Like, what are they doing? Oh, they're hitting on the kick beat or whatever it is. And you kind of go, oh, okay, I see how this works now, right? I think it's really important these days, especially, to learn as much as you can, not just from going to school, but I think it's important just to do it on your own. YouTube is a vast,
vast
repertoire of stuff that you can, you can find anything. You know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. I mean, don't, you know, try something that's going to get in trouble.
No, but, like healthcare.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
But that's the basis of it. You know, anything that comes towards me and somebody asks me, can you do this? I'll look at it and kind of, you know, size it up. Is it a difficult job? Do I have the tools? First off, can I do this kind of thing? Do I have some knowledge of it? At least a little bit. And then just went from there. I mean, I can or I can't. It's one or the other, right? Or if you want to try it, at least try it on your own so you can see if you can progress farther, right? That's the way I've always looked at it.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere, right? And I think most importantly, you have to have your own self-initiative. I mean, that is so huge. You know, you can't just sit back and say, oh, someone else is going to do this. You have to say, you know what? If I take initiative and go ahead and learn how to do this, yeah, it's going to be hard. And maybe it won't be perfect at first, but it's a process, right? And then you can say that you did it and you're only going to grow from there. Everybody starts from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Even the people at the top, the professionals, you know, all the superstars, they all started somewhere, right? Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing. And we wanted to do a music video and I was scared because I've never done anything. So I just started watching some YouTube videos and just, you know, using my creative mind. And I thought, you know, how can I put this together? And we found a great program and I ended up making my first video and people liked it. So it was a start, right? Yeah. You know, so it's all a process.
Yeah. The more you do it, the better you get at it, right? That's just a thing. Yeah. I mean, if you give up on yourself, then you just given up on what you just decided to start trying to do. So right. Either follow through or not, right?
So, yeah, I mean, all of that is so applicable in the world of passion and projects and music and life and entrepreneurship. And, you know, and here's the interesting thing. You might fall. I always say you're failing forward. I mean, you're really failing forward. You're falling with your face down. You're not falling backwards. You're falling face down. And then whether you choose to get up and kind of wipe it off or whatever. And sometimes you stay down for a little while. It might've been a big one that kicked your butt and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't get that award. Or okay, that one, like, I'm going to go cave out, I call it. Cave out for a little bit. And then you just come back stronger. But I love the fact that you teach, right? You were sharing that you teach people that want to come hang with you guys for a while.
Yeah. I have some students, like I teach guitar and drums. And some of them got interested in like, well, how do you, you know, I showed them some of the songs we had and they're like, well, how do I get started with that? And now that, I mean, computer recording is a lot easier now than it was back in the day. And it's very, you know, the thing is you just need a certain amount of tools to do the job just to get the basics going. That's the thing. But I let them just play around with the tools we have, which is quite a bit of tools here. So they can just go, hey, let's have some fun. Let's create, let's be creative. I think being creative, even if you don't decide that as a future for yourself when you're young, it's something that's still in your head that you can kick it forward, say when you're 30 or 35, you're like, hey, I can do this now. I feel like I want to do this. I'm ready. I just think those moments that you get, you know, if there's a door open, people should take it and try it. I mean, if no harm, no foul, right? Like just go for it. Yeah. If you got, you know, somebody's telling you, you can do it, try it. It's no different than, you know, if I didn't ever leave the house, when all the windows closed, I'll never know what season it is or if it's sunny or if it's raining or whatever it is. Right. Yeah. You get outside and, you know, mess around with whatever you can. That's what I always tell people is you're your own book, right? You write your own story and then however it ends is how it's going to end. So
yeah, you're in control.
There's, you know, those old books. I used to read a whole bunch of them where you read a little thing and then you made a decision and it said, turn to page, whatever for that decision. Right. I used to read those all the time. And then I would go back and reread it and read the next decision and see what changed. Right. And then what happened after that, I just found those things interesting because there's more than one path to get the same result. So,
So we're kind of coming a little bit to a close and I could hang out and talk to you guys all day and we're definitely going to be talking after the show. But so where can people listen to your music? What do you guys like? What's your dream? So I always say it's great because what we do is we come on in and we inspire and we educate, and we inform and we allow people to listen and pull what they need out of what we say. And I always think it's always really important. Remind me of a story. Jack Canfield, if you know who he is, and he's like a, you know, he's really big in personal development. And he's like, you need to write, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but he's like, you need to write all of your dreams and stick it on the wall. And a lot of times people say, well, keep them to yourself or whatever. He says, no, everything I wanted to do in life, I stuck on the wall. And one of them was to fly a really rare fighter jet, like almost next to impossible. Dude wasn't a fire pit, right? You know? And so one guy walks into his office one day and just was waiting for him to get off the phone. And he read Jack's list and he goes, you want to fly this blah, 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 fighter jet. And he's like, yeah, he goes, I just so happen to be a pilot. And one of like, I don't know, three or four in the world that flies that jet. And if you want to go up, we can get you in the seat. And he was like, that's crazy. So what about you guys? So where are you at? What do you want to do? Let's put it out to the universe there because you're talking about universe, love it. And so I just got a gut feeling like if your dreams could come true, like if you could have something happen for you, what would it be? Let's see what happens.
Oh, you know what I was thinking last night? I was like, we're going to go and play with Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. All just right. Want to call the wobble stage with him when he shows up. Yeah.
Love Sammy. All right. So Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. I was like, someday, I told myself someday. Sammy, we're going to come play with you, buddy. Like, you know, I don't know why I thought it, but I mean, just anything like that, or we're going to be on some big stage and we're going to be able to see the world and we want to tour the world. Yeah. You know, like we normally make like a 5-year plan. And usually we, like our last 5-year plan, we kind of blew that one out of the water and things happen that you don't plan. But I mean, ultimately we love music. We make it because we love it and we're happy with it. And we send it out there and we try to, what we say, well, we're painters of sound. So we're throwing artwork out there. And if it affects someone's life, that is the, that's the biggest goal, you know, that we can also make other people happy. So in the end, that's really what matters, you know, is that people can relate and we can communicate through our music. And the bigger we are, the more communication we have, right? So that's the dream.
Yeah, all right. Music's number one for sure.
Yeah.
I loved that when I was reading that and I was like, painters of sound. I was like, that's, because I believe, you know, people will say to me, what do you do? And I'm like, well, you know how an artist paints lots of pictures, lots of different types of pictures. That's what I do in my work, right? It's like we create, because they're like, oh, you do this and you do this and do this. And I'm like, yeah, well, my son paints 4 different styles of painting. You guys could listen to 4 different types of music. It doesn't really matter. It's just really what's the mission, right? Okay. So let people know where they can hear your work or where they can see you. Like, tell us your website, give us your information. Do you have an album or a song they can download, buy, purchase? You got merch or whatever. This is now promote yourself. And then I have a really special question for you guys each.
Oh, okay. Well, we're Moving Lines Band, at Moving Lines Band. So we're on everything. We're on Instagram and Twitter and I mean, you name it, we're out there. Number one, the best way to support any artist is through Bandcamp, because that ultimately all goes towards us. We know we have that whole streaming controversy, but we are also available on all of that and YouTube and you name it.
Movinglines.ca is our website.
Okay.
And, you know, websites are still around, but I find even myself going more to find a band's page on Facebook or Instagram or stuff like that. It just seems to be maybe a normal. I don't know. Some people do still go to websites. So we still do have a website.
Yes.
Yeah. Me too. I have a website. It's a good landing page, right, for your stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right. And then they can go to all the links and everything.
Yeah.
Or Linktree and all that. They're great.
Yeah. I like it. Okay. I have a question for you. I ask this question of all my guests, no matter what they do for a living. So, and it may be difficult for you, maybe more difficult for you or easier. I don't know, but separately, okay. Time's come. You're going to that desert island. You've had the lifetime. Sammy's like, man, we just rocked it out. So for you, I'm giving you a trip to a desert island. Unfortunately, that's your last trip. You've got one suitcase and you've got room for one album. Now, if you want to say it's yours, you get 2, but one album, what album would you take with you? And it's only one and it can't be a playlist.
Each of us to answer?
You each get one. Yeah.
Okay. Holy smokes.
I know.
Wow.
That's a hard question.
That's a difficult question. I've got a huge list of albums that I love front to back, especially.
Oh yeah.
But
do you pick one?
I honestly don't. I'd have to go with Metallica, just because I mean I grew up with them. It'd have to be Master of Puppets. I mean,
okay,
that's one of my favorite albums of all time, and that's where the staple of my guitar playing came from, was that album. So I'm going to say that album just for the nostalgia. I mean, there's a lot of great albums, but I'm going to go with the Puppets.
It's a tough question. I know it's a tough question, but it's, you know what? You got one. Okay. And how about you, darling?
Oh boy. It is really hard, but I think my biggest go-to, if I had to, would be Amanda Marshall.
Okay.
Because she has a little bit of everything, you know, like Sass Jordan and Aretha Franklin and Heart, and she has a little bit of everything. And I think the fact that she has a little bit of that feel and emotion and the way she songwrites and her passion, I would take Amanda Marshall. I'd take her.
Amanda Marshall. Okay. I know it's a tough question. You know what? Ironically, it's a tough question for everyone. And I think, so when I think about music and I, you know, I just think of it, it's a vibration, right? Which is why we're hoofing across Ireland. I mean, honestly, who's ridiculous idea was that? So the because I for me, I'm like, okay, there's, you know, you can call it universe, God, spirit, whatever you do, but I think there's that vibration, and then right under that vibration is love, and then right under that is music.
Yeah.
The reason why we're doing this is because there's no gender attached, there's no bias, it's non-political. You can love any kind of music. You can listen to, you know, rap music, you can listen to country music, and you can sit down and you can have a conversation about the love of music, right? So yeah. So there you go. So we've got your albums. We're going to hear more of you from you. Definitely go over to, you know, the Facebook group. You're just talking about it. Go and put your stuff in. And I'm going to let everybody know that if you are involved in music on any level, you own a record store. I was at Moon Records on Comox this last weekend. You guys rocked, you know? So anyone that has anything to do with music in the industry, you're a songwriter, anything like that, just put your stuff out there. Like, put your gigs, put your needs out there. It's not going to end when the walk ends, which is not till August 2023, but it's They Did It Tour Facebook group. Go put your stuff out, be supported. It's global, so people can, you know, support globally. And then if you want to go to theydiditour.ca, we'd appreciate that. You need to subscribe, and not because you're going to get 1,000 newsletters from us, but honestly, we're going to do some, you know, VIP online events and weather. And live events. We're just at the Roxy. You guys got to know the Roxy. We're just at the Roxy this week, making some plans for some cool live events to happen in the next year or so. So we'll do live and online and just support the industry. Yeah. So there you go, guys. And if you want to be on the podcast, you know how to reach me, because you guys do all the time, which is cool. So coolest audience ever. Is there any last things that you guys want to say before we say goodbye for now?
No, I mean, enjoy the music.
Enjoy. I guess our tagline is rock on and follow the moving lines.
Awesome. Great way to end. Okay, you guys, we'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.